Hello, hello, and welcome to Orbiting the Ghost Planet. I'm Nick.
I'm Joe.
And this week, we watched Season 1, Episode 6, Banjo.
Banjo! Banjo! Levels don't like that.
Of course. So, what did you take away from today's episode?
That you shouldn't give sea monkeys mega vitamins.
Absolutely not. It leads to terror. Like, you may have the best intentions. You may be seeking fame and fortune and friends and family, but it will lead to sadness in the end. It's Shakespearean, man. We've seen this theme time and time again.
Have we?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Fist of the North Star? Souther? Come on, same thing.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I gotta show you that arc. That's, like, my favorite arc. Although the arc where that blind man beats everybody up is pretty good, but that's just Japanese culture.
So this episode had a lot going on in it. We had not only the sea monkey plot line, mm-hmm. but we had the mind control plot line.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had a little bit of Moltar Zorak slash fiction slipping in.
Very much like a soap opera.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I can see, like, somewhere on the Spanish Riviera. There's a Spanish Riviera, right?
I don't think so.
Oh. Italian, maybe?
There's an Italian Riviera and a French Riviera. There might be a Spanish one. I don't know.
I think somewhere in Spain by the sea.
Sure.
You know, something that, like, if you wrote a romance novel based on a telenovela.
Yeah.
Then,
Just saying that word makes you crack up that much.
No, seeing your face after I say that word is what makes me crack up.
It's definitely soap opera material, yes.
I don't know why I keep thinking Spanish soap opera. I think it's because there's a lot about Papa would not approve.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have disapproving fathers about who you can simply date,
yeah,
then you're talking old or Spanish.
Yes.
What?
But of course, see, this isn't in what they were explicitly saying. It was just the subtitles over the episode.
So, I don't know if that's a translation, or if that is perhaps an interpretation. I would believe that is from someone's interpretation of that scene.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're speaking in English, so it's not like you're translating directly from language to language.
Yeah, but you could. It's entirely possible to be
it might just
translating
be subtext.
Intent. Yeah, to turn the subtext into subtext.
Someone's just kind of extrapolating
yeah.
a bit. Far.
Even though the sort of explicit word said was, I said, you can't read. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did one of those where they, like, stretch out, like, just him saying no or yes to the whole sentence. And then, like,
oh, that's the classic joke.
Mm-hmm. I know, I love the joke.
But it's weird, because, like, if you go back and, like, you ignore the text and try to just listen to what they're saying as a conversation, it's still, like, jilted, and you're like, wait, so... Which of the word sets are supposed to be quote-unquote
correct? Yeah.
Although, you know, clearly it has to be the spoken because lava soap.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something about that comes back, but lava soap is an actual product. It actually has pumice in it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is basically a... Well, no, you can get, like, a pumice stone and use it for removing dead skin, right?
Yep.
So it's a soap, basically, with that idea built in.
Okay.
Basically, you take, like, 20% soap and about 80% gravel, and that's lava soap.
Okay.
Yeah, it's meant for cleaning your skin via removal.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you slough off the dead skin.
And then Zorak has a new book, The Joy of Incantations.
Yes, where he's learning magic to control Space Ghost's brain. Which, as he denotes, as Moltar says, it is a small spell, and Zorak rightly points out that Space Ghost has a small brain.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a good riff. It's a good riff, and it makes sense. And so, what? It's an incantation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the? What school do you think that incantation comes from? Do you think that the show has a tendency to sort of stray into voodoo in a couple of places? Do you think perhaps it is from a? Do you think perhaps it is a Celtic sort of chant? A chantry? Personally, I believe this is from our far-off future because the incantation ends with, ah-ah, similar to the episode of The Jetsons we watched last night, in which the phrase which controlled the minds of the masses was "Eep up, orc, ah ah."
Yeah, I made that connection as well.
I'm trying to, like, I know that that's a connection to something. I don't know if it's specifically here or if there's a more direct connection to that song in a later episode. could be getting confused in my mind.
So that stuff was going on. And, I mean, we started off with seeing a little bit of the quote-unquote backstage area.
Yep.
Where Space Ghost had some sea monkeys.
Which, okay, I don't know where the whole sea monkey plot came from. Like, there's a lot of times where, like, you know, a guest will say something offhanded.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's accidentally a theme between the two guests about saying similar kind of things. And then they throw it. They'll punch a story in there to connect them and do something like that. The sea monkeys comes from nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, the closest place it almost comes from is when Space Ghost is talking to Schooly D and is saying just sort of dumb stuff. But they did that fine when he asked Schooly if he would like to see him swallow a live mollusk.
Yeah.
So they, that, I don't think that came in from there.
No, because the sea monkey's not a mollusk.
Yeah. No, but just in the sense of, you know, talking about sea monkeys.
No, I know.
It's something dumb to say.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to see my sea monkey? That is a, that's something dumb you can say.
But yeah, so I mean, you start off with, and it's not even showing him interacting with, which I like. It just, it's the view of that doorway with the sign that says, you know, experiment in progress.
Yep.
Do not enter.
So we will see that doorway a lot more. That is definitely just a set pulled from the old show.
Is it like a green room or a?
It's going to be a multi-purpose piece of background.
yeah, and then so you have just, you hear him talking to sea monkeys, which is totally in character. And then, you know, you just hear him be like, oh, I'll just have this multivitamin while I go off and do the show. And then
the show happened.
Yeah.
And so, you notice, I feel like this hasn't quite happened yet, but the opening of the show gets totally subverted. Like, I don't think we actually even see it.
Yeah.
Because,
we don't, because...
Yeah, because it's a cold open on Zorak and Moltar on the set.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Space Ghost in the back, and while he's in the back...
The show starts.
Yeah, Moltar starts playing the intro, so we hear the intro music.
And you see it on Moltar's screen.
Yeah.
While he's counting down.
But then we cut back to Space Ghost as he rushes back to the set, and, like, the only part of it we see is, like, that final shot of the set where the intro normally ends, and
right.
Space Ghost invisibles in almost as normal.
Yeah.
And then it does cut into normal, because he does a normal little intro about the guests and all of that.
Yeah. Speaking of guests,
who was our first guest?
Schooly D.
Oh, yeah. Schooly D, sort of credited as the sort of founder of gangster rap.
Okay.
The creator of such albums as Saturday Night, The Album, Smoke Some Kill, Am I Black Enough for You? And in 2000, he released Funk and
Okay.
So that's... I don't know if that really comes across in the show. Schooly D is a very... low energy figure.
Yeah, I was gonna say he seemed like one of those that kind of didn't really want to be there, or like didn't really know what was going on.
Like low energy, but you know he was laughing at weird stuff, and he kept rolling along because like there were definitely weird questions asked of him in the record, and he gives like answers to these weird questions, and is laughing and smiling, maybe just sort of as a defense mechanism for how weird and strange it is, but. He goes for it. Also, so one of the questions was, what does the D stand for?
Mm-hmm.
With such answers as defenseless and dandelions and ultimately the response from Schooly himself is that the D stands for something different every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question to you,
mm-hmm.
what do you think the D stands for today?
Dapper.
Dapper? All right, so you're saying he's rolling around being a dapper? This is before his funkin'
sure.
days? I believe today the D in Schooly D stands for the 1972 classic film Deliverance.
Okay, I can see that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we also have, during the interview, of course, we have some of the effects of Zorak's mind control spell happening.
Which... So, in Zorak's eyes, when he is reciting the incantation,
mm-hmm.
there is a similar effect to when Moltar switches feeds in his monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just sort of continuing the theme I've put forth before, that the show is just full of signals. Signals mm-hmm. are thematic. So perhaps his incantation is both spoken word and putting it into the air,
uh-huh.
and it's just yet another signal, and to intercept other signals, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Could you hand me one of those lawn decorations? They look delicious.
My favorite was when Meeksum say, "My mantis is dashing in a tux."
That's a good line. That is a clutch line. Gonna put that on a... Well, so, you know, that's the thing. Like, not many people know it, because normally you walk through Space Ghost once, and then you've had enough. But if you walk through Space Ghost twice, and you get each of the two different endings, then on your third walk through of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, you can have Zorak be in a tux the whole time. Oh, you weren't expecting these Metal Gear goofs!
No, I'm just like, of all the things to cross over, Metal Gear and Space Ghost.
Oh my god, I want to play that. I want to play that. Oh, that's going to be...
Play Metal Gear as Space Ghost.
That's going to be my new in animation goof. It'll be up on Newgrounds soon enough, right after Metal Gear Yatsuma.
No, find somebody in there you can put Bracken as... Because he does show up in places he shouldn't be.
Well, Moltar should probably be Otacon. Zorak is probably Gray... if we're talking Metal Gear 1... I think I like Brack being Dr. Naomi. Because then we can put Brack in drag as well. Yeah.
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 That works.
Okay.
Okay, so our second guess... Weird Al Yankovic, which is also interesting now that we've seen some of the Weird Al show.
Weird Al is one of the first and possibly only guests to actually demand to be on Space Coast Coast to Coast.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
I also really like how they cut him off when he goes, like, I'm here, you know, as a fan of the show, and not just to not to plug my album, and then they cut him off right there.
When it's clear he was going to go on to do more,
yep.
Which is great, because, like, saying, I'm not going to do this thing, and then doing the thing, is a classic joke.
Yeah.
But also, like, to cut that out is a classic Space Ghost joke. It is a convergent of solid riffs,
mm-hmm.
is what it is. So I wanted to... Weird Al is Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of wacky.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe this has always been the case. I don't know if it's so apparent. No, it's apparent even in his actual music. But, like, Weird Al has always had this thing of, like, a sense of forced wackiness.
Zany.
Yeah, zany is, like, that synthetic wacky is what it is. But I just wanted to get thoughts on a comparison between strange guest Weird Al mm-hmm. and last week's strange guest Bobcat Goldthwait. Because, like, they're both going for this weird thing about, like, I'm going to be the wacky kid in the class. But
Bobcat's definitely more, it's, like, passive, because that's just who he is.
Mm.
With Weird Al, it definitely feels more like a constructed personality.
But... that's the way Weird Al
even
is.
Even though it's not.
Like, that's the way Weird Al has always been.
He's just also, so cartoony that, like, it's like.
Can we just talk about the visage of a young Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, man.
With that hair and those glasses.
The mustache gets me most.
The mustache, man. But, like, all his hair used to be up on top. Like, that is almost going towards, like, fro territory. Not his long, curly locks that he has now,
mm-hmm.
where he is doing a
Well,
Liberty
that's what
belt.
Happens when curly hair gets long enough. The weight just starts pulling it down.
Yeah. But, wow, like... And that is like Weird Al fat era, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure when that song and video came out, but as classic Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
Weird Al gets his mind taken over by Zorak.
Yeah.
In a weird callback resurgence of a theme. Subplot.
Did
he did.
When?
when he struck a B flat and contorted his body.
Oh, I didn't think he made him do that.
No, yeah, that was because he was under Zorak's mind control. Okay. I don't know if they did the full incantation or if, like, they just put the spinny eyes in Zorak
mm-hmm.
just to be like, no, this is like incantation mind control stuff okay. going on. Can you tell if that was actually a B flat?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Okay. Can we? It's stupid and it's annoying. Okay. But I love the gag of Space Ghost just trying
yelling
to
along, yeah.
Just yelling along. Just me.
He's not
me
even singing.
Too.
He's just yelling.
He's trying to hit a note.
I know.
What is a single note if not yelling?
I know. It just reminds you of the dogs that like hear you singing to music and just kind of start howling along.
Yes.
And it's because they love you.
Oh, she's like, I want. That looks like fun. I want to
yeah.
be fun too.
It's the whole childhood glee thing. So, also around this, we see the sea monkey growing up. The sea monkey who Space Ghost has affectionately named Banjo.
Banjo. Banjo. Banjo. Faster than lightning.
Yes. And during the commercial break, you see he's grown a little bit into a many-legged, weird-snouted beast.
Again, definitely pulled from the old series.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Just shrunk to be adorable. It's weird how when you take something and you make it smaller, it gets adorable.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And then at the end, we see, you know, the whole mistake of why you shouldn't give your sea monkeys mega vitamins.
Yeah, because he finds his way out to the set. He is like a two-story terror, and he's just shooting laser beams everywhere. At which point, Space Ghost is forced to bring an end to his proud little friend, Banjo.
His child. I also love that they put baby noises in the beginning yeah. when he first hatches from the little sea monkey pill.
You had a strong reaction to just the off-screen baby noises. A lot of off-screen work in this one. Like,
yeah.
everything with the sea monkeys in the back was off-screen. Moltar doing his NASA voice
yeah.
was used sort of off-screen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense because he's counting down just over the loudspeaker kind of thing.
Yeah. And then, at the end, over the end credits,
yeah,
there was a
the
whole
scene
sort
continues.
Of, yeah, there was a scene acted out, but you only hear it.
But it's great. You don't need to see it, because they do the sound part so well that you just see it in your mind.
Even though the
And
sound
I wouldn't
of...
want to see it anyway, because it's Moltar eating the sea monkey.
But the sound, it's weird, because like, the sound of Moltar walking out...
Yeah, like it's a metallic is, clunk, clunk, clunk.
It's nothing like footprints.
Yeah.
Footsteps, but... You know, okay, that's Moltar clanging his way to the set, sure.
Yeah.
When Space Ghost was introducing Banjo to the set before mm-hmm. his untimely demise,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a family demise, a loving demise. What?
An old yeller kind of demise.
Yes, a for our own good demise. for the good of all demise. Space Ghost is introducing Banjo, and Weird Al jumps in and says that Banjo also shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Which, that's a Johnny Cash reference, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that is definitely one of the references that you pick up, especially like for our age, I guess. Like,
yeah, like I know that joke, but only through hearing it made a bunch. So it got to the point where like I can make the joke without really knowing what the original source of it is.
Yeah. And that... You just learn it through osmosis.
Yeah.
Like, you know it as the joke and the reference and not for what it originally was. It's
right.
like... Between Space Ghost and The Simpsons, especially...
yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of things... I don't know if it's just our generation or if it's been this way, like, you know, with every generation... But there's a lot of things I feel that way about where I know it from osmosis because of everyone referencing it, but I only know it as a joke and not as the
yeah.
thing referenced. I'm really anything Simpsons. Like, there's so much reference on Simpsons that goes over my head, and mm-hmm. I think of it as a Simpsons reference.
The way I was brought up, a lot of Simpsons references I actually get because I actually know the source material that it's referencing.
Mm. Well, you know, like big things, like knowing that a... Like, all the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Yeah.
And, like all the ones
Soylent
that are...
Soylent Green is another one our generation, like, the whole Soylent Green is people thing, like...
like
most people probably don't know what it's actually from.
Yeah, unless they are going into something where like that's like seeing like a classic like that.
Yeah.
Or like I don't even know if that's actually a classic. I just know that Soylent Green is people.
That's one of the biggest plot twist like examples in the history.
Yeah. Like I don't know this and you probably wouldn't know this,
that
but like,
and the whole it's a cookbook.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing, the Treehouse of Horror episodes that were just Twilight Zone episodes.
Yes.
Like Twilight Zone at least is still New Year's marathons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you end up seeing that cuz they put the source material on.
Yeah.
But it's these weird things where it's just like the source comes out and it leaves an impact and then it gets referenced, but somehow the reference lives on longer.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that's an effect of like that could be an effect of just syndication and, you know, just again, Turner.
It's kind of just how memes work in general.
But it's this weird thing where, like, you can make a reference and it can become, like, transformative through time and through different generations and reinterpretations and such. But, like, that is almost a sort of a meme in its purest form where, like, like it is said,
it becomes
it is referenced,
thing.
And then, like, people continue to reference it through reference.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of time people are really smart enough to notice it's like, oh hey, I made a Simpsons reference, and then somebody can come around and go like, no, actually you made a reference to this other thing that you were able to make because the Simpsons referenced it. Like usually at least we're all aware that we are, you know, referencing something else, even though all we know of it is the reference. Like I feel like that there is a knowing there that we have. And like I wonder if that is like something even more prominent in like when you have like a older brother or an older cousin or something like that, somebody just says, here, check this thing out. I'm going to tell you about this cool thing.
Yeah.
But then you'll never end up seeing the cool thing. Like,
you just pick up, you know, what's funny.
Yeah, like, or like what's funny or in a lot of times, like what's cool or something. It's,
right.
It's this weird thing. Like, and like, I could talk about this for a long time. It kind of trails off, but like, I feel this happens a lot with Space Ghost as well and kind of a lot of Cartoon Network at that era because there's always a sense of like, you know, we're going to talk about bringing in Huckleberry Hound and we know what Huckleberry Hound's about, but have you ever actually seen a Huckleberry Hound cartoon? Like, I don't even know what form Huckleberry Hound was shown in back in the day, or like Yogi Bear. And then, so now we're in this new thing where like, we could like, Yogi Bear steals picnic baskets. We all kind of know that. We all kind of know that, but how many people have seen the original Yogi Bear cartoons? But now we're in a situation where there is, like, new Yogi Bear movies.
Yeah.
That people are pulling from. And it's one of those things, like, are they ruining childhoods? Should the Ghostbusters be all female? We should not tackle that question. It becomes this weird thing where, like, there's almost a sense to the complaints about it's ruining my childhood or whatever. Like no, it's not, because the original thing does exist.
Yeah.
But with the way that, like, things are marketed and distributed, there's almost an opportunity cost.
People like the nostalgia factor, and when you take things from the childhood and, like, make them for someone else's childhood, then it's, like, you feel it's a personal offense.
It's just, like, I think there's this sense that, like, okay, we're going to make the new one, and it's not just going to reference the old one. Like, if it referenced it, great, because then you can trace a reference and go back to the source.
Yeah.
But when you reboot, or you, like, remake, or you say, like, well, here's the new one, you end up, you end up saying, like, well, now this is what people are going to know, and the old one could be lost to time. Like it won't. It'll still exist. You can still probably get a DVD of it somewhere. Like, again, I got the DVD of the first season of Jetsons off of Netflix. You can still get that kind of stuff if you want.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, has there been, like, a new Jetsons movie? Is that something? But, like, even with Flintstones, do you remember, I think we were very young at the time, but they did a live-action Simpsons with John Goodman and Rosie O'Donnell.
I vaguely remember seeing commercials for that.
Like, I remember seeing that, and, like, that becomes a weird thing, because it's, like, it's not quite a continuation, and it's not quite a reference, but it is something that is more likely to be seen by a new generation. And like, if somebody was going to make a reference to Flintstones these days, it would be through, like, well, I don't think that movie was a big enough hit, but, like, they are more, like, the part they are more likely to have seen is, like, the Flintstones, which is not, like, the real Flintstones. And at best, they will have an awareness of classic Flintstones cartoons. Like, have you ever actually seen Flintstone cartoons?
No, but that's because I didn't really watch TV until high school.
I know. Well, like, I just was watching Cartoon Network at that time when that was still some of the only stuff they had to show.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like some people will watch the newer thing and be fine with that, but I feel like people who actually really become fans of it will go and seek out the older ones for comparison. Like, I know that happened a lot for, like, the Star Trek movies. People watched those and were like, oh, I'm curious about, you know, where this came from. And they went and they found episodes of the older show, and then you get more fans of that as well.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of it becomes...
It definitely depends on, like, the franchise that it is, though.
Yeah, because, like, something like Star Trek, the way, like, old and next generation are definitely, like, two different things.
Yeah, no, I know.
Even though they're both kind of Star Trek. But... I don't know. If somebody really gets hooked into something and they want to know everything about it, they probably will go back to, you know, whatever the original source is, the original versions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? House on Haunted Hill? Like, there's been remakes, and then there's the original, and there's recolored, and there's, you know, lots of different versions that you could see. And then it does come down to, like, well, which one can I get my hands on at some point?
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, so much stuff exists that it is going to get sort of shuffled down to, you know, we can't take in every version of this franchise, of this idea.
Yeah.
Which one are we going to get to? And it's like, well, the old one was the best one, but the newer one is easier to get your hands on, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, is going to be better to stand because of, you know, modern techniques of,
yeah.
of
and then you get into the whole idea of, you know, like, people not being quote-unquote real fans because they don't know the original source material. I say, if someone enjoys something, let them enjoy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect your own personal enjoyment of something, so.
It creates a fear that the one that you actually like could go away.
Yeah.
And, like, on a scale that goes beyond yourself, maybe. Like, there is always a chance of that happening. But, you know, we will reach the heat death of the universe one day. But that goes beyond us. We will probably never get that. And, you know, like, can we talk about the Smurfs movies? Movies! There's at least two of them. That is probably a great example, because the Smurfs? The hell?
I didn't know what the Smurfs were when the first movie came out, so I'm not a good one to talk about this.
Yeah. Or just like, I was getting into a conversation the other day, in video games, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, which is the SNES one, and some people would say the greatest video game ever made. And then they made A Link Between Worlds, which takes place, like, it's kind of a direct sequel. It's kind of, the point is, like, they've built the game in such a way that it is almost identical in controls, in the map, the overworld that you're running around. Like, if you played the first game, everything is in the same place. You know, things that you remember are still there. Characters are still there. They may, like, you know, be used for different purposes, have different stories that they're telling, but all the they used the same pieces to create a new game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird thing of sitting there going, like, well, you know, what is the difference in experience between people who knew the old and only know the new?
Yeah.
And does that difference in experience matter? And that is, like, I think that's an interesting subject and an area of debate that people are more, like, scared and don't want things to change, or
yeah.
don't want to lose a sense of stuff, don't want to lose what... Because when somebody likes something, they say, there's something good about this, there's something I like, there's something that I would like to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that if there's something that they feel should continue, and there's a chance that it might end because something
yeah.
has changed or rebranded
sequels,
or whatever.
When people want sequels, they want more of the same.
Yeah. Or, well, that's the thing. Sometimes they don't even want more of the same. They want the same just done over so
yeah.
that it continues to live on, which that's not even really a sequel.
Yeah.
But also,
that's what remakes are for.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even, you know, current day, like, reboots and remakes, that's not even that either. it's a really weird subject, and we could go on for a long time. We already have.
Yeah, that's for the video game podcast.
Yeah, let's push that off and consider that at another time, because That's worth talking about. Just mm-hmm. this isn't the place for it. Sorry to eat up your time. What were we talking about?
Banjo!
Oh, yeah. Johnny Cash reference. Ray Dom made a Johnny Cash reference. All right. A reference that most of us only know as a reference. I mean, Space Ghost is kind of the same way. I know Space Ghost Coast to Coast. I've seen maybe like 3 original Space Ghost episodes.
Yeah.
I would like to see more. I'm trying to see more, but it's mm-hmm. hard to get your hands on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a position to say that Coast to Coast is the one you want to see, because they're very different entities.
Yeah. Lots of things, too. Like, this isn't trying to be a remake or a reboot or anything of the original series. It's just kind of a fan fiction.
It was just something, some fun bull to do.
Yeah.
That's fine. During the opening scene with the subtitles and everything, I also wanted to mention that you can see a really big contrast there. Like, partly because they're doing the awkward voices for the subtitle gag, but it's awkward voices kind of in the same way that even, you know, only about 4 or 5 episodes ago, they were trying to do the weird, like, old-style, very dictated voices.
Yeah.
Like, this from the superhero era type voices. But then, compared to Space Ghost in the back, not even on screen, super casual. Like, the most casual we've heard of up to this point. Just saying stuff, talking to himself, mumbling under his breath kind of dialogue. Like, very casual, very, what's the word? Very candid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very candid style of speaking. So just the contrast there, right next to each other, cutting back and forth. I thought that was almost jarring. And then just the last thing I want to do, I think this is important, and I think really we've been missing out by not doing this so far, but I believe we need to take it upon ourselves and rate the guest's superpowers.
Okay.
So, Schooly D, his superpowers were...
That means I have to start writing them down.
He had powers, but he didn't really have powers. That's why he was defenseless. I think his superpower was having a initial in his name that means something different every day. I believe that was his power. I don't know. That's not super great.
No.
Like, it's good on an aesthetic level. Like, if you need to blend in at parties and keep up with the time,
sure,
that's a great power. But otherwise, I don't think that power is super hot. Weird Al Yankovic. Now, he had
some superpowers.
He had a trio of powers.
Yes.
His powers is he is able to eat his own weight in ding-dongs.
That's pretty impressive power.
He can turn traffic lights green just by staring at them. Red traffic lights green.
Mm-hmm.
Just by staring at them.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they have red traffic lights? Is that like a... I feel like that's something they would have in Finland. Like, we have the yellow ones here.
No. Red lights that are red. When the light is red, he stares at them and they become green.
I know.
Okay.
But that's not what he said. I'm making a foreign countries are slightly different than our countries kind of gag.
I don't know what you're talking about because the context in which the way he said it works.
I know. I'm trying to make a bad joke.
Don't, because it doesn't work.
I know. That's why it's bad. So, and then his last superpower is he can make oil paintings with his butt.
That sounds less like a superpower, more just like a talent to me.
I think you're getting to the heart of the matter. Really, what is the difference between a superpower and a talent? Because really, eating your own weight in ding-dongs, that's kind of a talent.
No, that's... I would consider that a superpower.
But that, like... I am no superhero.
I mean, I can make an oil painting with my butt.
I can eat my own weight in ding-dongs. So, clearly... Weird Al's greatest superpower, and possibly only superpower, is to change traffic lights by way of doing absolutely nothing. Changing them through intent and wishing and expectation. I'm trying to remember who else was actually asked a question about superpowers. Susan Powder was asked, and I think her superpower was that she's a feminist?
I don't remember.
Or she's actually a man? I think that... It's something... She was bald, so...
No, it was just shaved short.
It was shaved super short, but it was also, like, blonde, so...
Yeah.
If you turn the brightness up enough, she looks bald. Let's say that way. So anyway, superpowers this episode. Hot or not. Schooly D. I think not.
Not. Weird Al? Hot.
Hot. All right. And that is going to do it for this edition of Orbiting the Ghost Planet. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again next time when we talk about the next episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast and complete another orbit around the ghost planet. You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Aliku Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at alikustudios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page where you can talk about this and all the other Aliku Studios shows. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit alikustudios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.